You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is episode 11. Well, hey, friends, and welcome to Feathers. So glad to have you back. Today, we have Karina Allen, a New Orleans native that has made her home in Baton Rouge for the past 17 years. She's a freelance writer, editor, and speaker. She's also a contributor for Encourage, Dayspring's online devotional website for women. She is a worship leader and dancer, and she spends much of her time working out, traveling, spending time with friends, and ministering at Healing Place Church, where she is involved in a myriad of ministries and outreaches. And I am so excited to have her share her story today because it is encouraging us all. And I believe a faith walk that we all are called to, and that is to community, to being involved and doing life with other believers. I love Karina's story because she has every reason beyond anybody else's to not want community, not trust community, because of her past. And yet God has given her grace and she continues to walk in obedience in community, even when it's hard. So I hope she can encourage us in that and that we can move forward searching out community in our lives. So here's my talk with Karina Allen. Well, Karina, welcome to Feathers today.
Thank you, Amy.
I'm so glad to have you here today. Why don't we start out, introduce yourself and something a little about you. We don't know each other very well.
Okay. Well, my name is Karina Allen. I am 34, I'm single, no kids, I'm from the really fun city of New Orleans, Louisiana. I guess about the past 17 years I've lived in Baton Rouge, our state's capital. I came here to go to LSU for college and I just kind of fell in love with the city and so I've been here ever since. And I go to Healing Place Church and I'm pretty involved there.
I love that. So you're a local church girl.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what do you like to do in besides being in the local church? What are some of your, like, hobbies?
Oh, gosh, I have a lot of hobbies. I work out a lot. So on this big weight loss journey, so that's been pretty big for me. 7 days a week. I work out 7 days a week.
And is it a program of some sort, or is it just, you know, weightlifting? Are you a treadmill girl? What do you do?
Oh, I like the elliptical.
You're elliptical. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's one thing I could never stay on for very long. I think 30 minutes is the longest I last one time.
Oh, I've been known to do like 2 hours.
Oh my gosh. You can like watch a movie.
That's pretty much what I do. I don't have cable. And so I actually do watch TV shows and movies at the gym.
That's so funny. We don't have cable either. It's actually funny. We were out of town last night, actually. And so for us, without cable, our big thing to do when we go somewhere is cable. We're like, oh my gosh, they have HGTV and the Disney Channel. And
that's me.
Yeah, all those fun channels. So yeah, I did the Y thing several years ago, but for me in this, just the season of life I'm in right now, it's really hard. And about the only time I could do it is like 5:30 in the morning. And I just can't make myself do it.
It's hard. I go to my gym is 24 hours. Uh-huh. And so I normally don't go to like 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I need something that stays open late. Sometimes I'll go early in the morning, but most of the time that's the time of the day I go at.
Wow. So you don't have any trouble sleeping after you work out?
I don't. I'm like, oh, my body's nice and tired now.
Okay. Well, I've always heard you shouldn't like work out too late because then you're all like revved up. But, you know, I've never done that. Like, I think the latest I ever did, I always tried to, when I was going to the gym consistently, it was like a 6:30, 7 p.m. type thing.
Yeah.
And it was really good for us when my kids were small because it would give us something to do in the evenings. You know, like they could get out and play with them and I could get out and deal with my stresses from the day and stuff like that. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, now the kids are all in school, and I feel like that time in the evening is just, like, the only time I have with them.
Yeah.
Not the only time, but it's just precious time, you know? So I'm like, I don't want to spend, you know, like, 2 hours at the gym 7 days a week in the evenings. But maybe if I did it, like, later at night, I could do it better than, you know, 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, either one's kind of hard, but I just prefer the night.
Well, that's awesome that you're that consistent. That's pretty amazing.
I just tell people it's because I don't have kids.
All right. Okay, so let's jump into your story. It's going to be much more interesting than my exercise routine. And your story is really about community and how God has called, I think, us all into community with others. And your background and your story gives you every single reason not to want to do community, not to trust anybody for community. And yet through Christ, he's called you to that. And not only are you obedient, but you actually love it. So I would love to hear your journey from your background to now being in community and being such a supporter for that.
Yes. Okay. So I grew up with my grandmother on my mother's side. And so I pretty much came out of the womb and I lived with my grandmother and my step-grandfather. My mother and my father, they were both addicted to drugs and, you know, so they were just pretty much non-existent. My mother popped in and out a little bit throughout childhood. And so, you know, I just had them. I have three younger siblings. We all share the same mother and then we all have different fathers. And so although I am the oldest of four, I grew up like an only child because none of them ever really lived with us.
Mm-hmm.
I had one sister who kind of popped in and out, but outside of her, I didn't live with my other sister and I never lived with my brother. He's 19 years younger than I am.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's a big age gap.
Yeah.
So I, you know, just kind of growing up like an only child, I'm very independent. I'm very self-sufficient. I was not a, you know, a kid who needed a lot of attention. I could go in my room and you wouldn't see me for hours. You know, I'd watch TV, I'd sing, I'd read, I'd play with dolls, I'd, you know, just do normal kid stuff, but I would do it all alone. And so, about my junior high years, my step-grandfather had passed away and my father had passed away and an uncle came to live with us. And he was just not a very nice guy. He just brought all kinds of just evil into our house as far as just wild living and alcohol and drugs and women and, you know, promiscuity and pornography. Like, he just brought all of that into our environment. And so, again, I just kind of retreated to my room and stayed there.
You weren't attracted to that. You didn't fall into that. You stayed away.
I did. Beth Moore always talks about how you kind of either swing to one end of the pendulum after just, you know, hard childhoods and abuse and things like that. You either go really crazy and just, you know, experience everything, you know, in excess and addiction, or you swing to the total opposite end and you go into that abstinence side. And that was me. I just, you know, looking back, I can see that the Lord has such grace for me that I had really good common sense. So I knew, wow, if I sit around and smoke weed all day, that will not lead to a good life. If I sleep around with a bunch of people, that will not lead to a good life. If I, you know, fall into any kind of addiction and, you know, not working and just living off of, you know, the welfare system, that is not going to be a good life for me. So I always had good common sense.
Wow, I just love that God was so gracious that even though your parents were not there, that it feels like to me that he gifted you with that wisdom and that common sense as, and he was your father through that, and he was able to provide for you in that way. I love that.
Yes, that is definitely it. Because, you know, I've told people my story and they're just, how did you turn out, you know, because I think I'm fairly well adjusted and fairly normal, you know, they're like, how did you turn out like that? And I just tell them, like, it is God's absolute grace that did it.
All right. So you're back in, it was high school and he moved in.
Yeah. So come the end of high school, I graduated at 17. My birthday's in September. And so I moved to Baton Rouge and, you know, lived in a dorm and went to LSU. And I still didn't have a desire for, you know, for the things of the world. I didn't have that desire. So even in my dorm, like, everybody in my dorm floor, all the girls, they were like, you're such a mama. Because I was the girl that's like, okay, y'all are going out. Okay, don't drink a lot. If you need me to come pick you up, let me know. You know, I was that girl.
Yep.
You know, and so I never had that desire. And so, you know, so I was a pretty good kid. You know, when you're a quote unquote good person, you know, I believed in God. I grew up Catholic. And so God was a part of my life. But for me, it really was religion and not relationship. It was just, this is what we do. We go to Mass on Sundays. And so, you know.
So did you connect the good life to a Christ-like life, or it was just staying away from the bad stuff? Did you make that connection at all?
Oh, growing up, it was definitely, I do good things. I don't do bad things. Like, that is bad. That is wrong. Don't do that. Because I'm very much a rule follower as well. And so I don't like to get in trouble. I don't like to feel guilty about something. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed away from the bad things. And I don't even know if I gave it the name sin. I don't even know if that was really a part of my vocabulary growing up. But when I encountered Christ, that was definitely, oh, that's what that is.
And so when was that?
Well, my sophomore year in college, I was in LSU's gospel choir, and we would go and sing for different Christian ministries around campus. So we sang at the Baptist Collegiate Ministry, and I loved it. I saw all of these college kids, and they were so happy and, you know, just excited about life and friendly. And the director of the BCM said, hey, you guys should come back anytime. And I'm one of those people where if you invite me, I will come. I will show up. And so I started going to the BCM for their Thursday night services. Gospel choir, we went and sang for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, as the director there again said, hey, we love having you guys. If you, you know, ever want to come back, come. So I started going to that. I really did.
I'm going to invite you to all my parties.
Yes, I will show up. You know, I will buy something. I won't cook anything, but I will bring something. And so I really just started going to those things. And I had a friend in the gospel choir. Now, mind you, gospel choir was about 150 students. They were majority African-American. There was a couple of my sweet little Caucasian friends. And so one of my friends, her name was Sarah, she went to a Southern Baptist church here in town. And she asked me, hey, do you ever want to come to church on a Sunday? Sure.
You'll be there.
So I started going to a Southern Baptist church, which is, you know, nothing like Catholicism. And so I started going there. I was going to BCM and FCA, and I just started making friends, and people were just loving on me and, you know, asking about my life and, hey, do you need prayer for anything? Hey, do you need help with anything? God just kind of just sucked me into community at that point. And so there was one service at the BCM on a Thursday night, and they gave an altar call. And the Lord just kind of lifted the veil from my eyes and showed me that although I was a quote unquote good person, like the Holy Spirit wasn't living inside of me, you know, and it was just that eye opening of my best, you know, on my best day isn't good enough to get me in heaven, you know, like mm-hmm. It's only the blood of Christ that will save me. And it was so eye opening because, you know, I thought if you had asked me if I was going to heaven, I would have told you yes, because I'm a good person. But that, my goodness, you know, was a filthy rag. That would not get me into heaven. That was not the thing that was going to save me.
So that's the point where you began a relationship with Christ.
Yes.
So given that, how did that work out then based on your past and just seeing all the brokenness in your past? How did that work with community?
Well, that being the kind of the doorway into knowing Christ, being community, like the body of Christ literally has become my family. And I love the verse, it's Psalm 68:6, where it says, God sets the lonely in families. He leaves out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. You know, that first part, that is the story of my Christian walk. I have had so many instances where people, you know, God through people have just shown up and met a need, whether it was prayer, whether it was helping me move for the millionth time, whether it was, you know, me being in between jobs and someone pays my rent or someone buys me groceries. you know, just big things, little things, here's a word of encouragement for you, whatever it was, people have just stepped in and been family to me.
So you didn't have that strong family growing up, but God has placed you in the body of Christ, and that's your family.
Yes, by far. I mean, I have extended family, but they've always lived out of state. And so, you know, growing up, it's hard to make strong connections with people you only see once a year or once every couple years. And, you know, so it's like I love them, but we don't have that face-to-face, we've done life together relationship like I have with the body of Christ.
And so have you ever struggled through any of that community, given your background or even given the fact that community is hard in general? Can you talk about any of your struggles through just keeping that community?
Yes. I'm one of those people, I am, you know, it's a strength and a weakness sometimes. I'm really loyal and faithful, you know, and I don't say that, you know, to brag by any means, but that's how God wired me. Like, if I've given you my word, I'm true to my word. You know, I'm pretty stable. And so I feel like sometimes I've, you know, encounter people that are not, you know, that are not that way. And so they're kind of like, oh, friends, I could, you know, take them or leave them. They're, you know, could be flaky at times, you know, and so that caused rifts in some friendships. You know, people just not, you know, people misunderstanding my heart or my motivation about something I've said or done, you know, that's caused rifts. You know, people who just may not have liked me have, you know, talked about me and spread rumors and, you know, so all those normal, like, you know, kind of girl things that we go through, you know, in our young 20s and, you know, sometimes now even in my 30s, you know, like it's just caused rifts and, you know, divisiveness in friendships. You know, but God has just been really faithful where, you know, he's opened my eyes to where if it's been my fault, I've tried to do my best and apologize and just leave it in God's hands, whether or not they accept my apology or not. You know, and if it's been their fault, kind of reevaluating the friendship and seeing, okay, God, is this a person that, you know, honestly may be toxic in my life, or is this someone that, you know, we really need to work on restoration?
Right. Yeah, because God gives us the blueprint of how we should relate to one another.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. So can you talk to people? I mean, community is a big thing, but I think a lot of people have been hurt by people, especially in the church, or just people around them. Can you speak to those people, kind of encourage them, maybe what advice you would give them?
Yeah. I mean, I would honestly just tell anyone that's listening that has been hurt, don't give up. Like, don't forsake gathering. Like, don't forsake community. Like, it's hard and it hurts sometimes and it's messy and it's awkward, but it can also be the most beautiful, rewarding, fulfilling, you know, part of our lives, because that's how God designed us. He didn't design us to be alone and to be loners. He designed us to, you know, sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron, to learn from each other, to challenge each other, to correct each other if necessary, to encourage, to pray, to edify, you know, to be family and, you know, meet needs of each other. And so, you know, I would just say that, you know, every instance that comes up in regards to community, you know, that's hard or that's hurtful, to just bring it to the Lord and set it at his feet, you know, and ask him, okay, what are you doing in this situation? You know, where do I need to grow? How do I need to pray for that other person? You know, to really just evaluate those, you know, those relationships as they come, and not to judge and blanket a whole community or a whole church, you know, on the basis of one person, you know, because if I had done that, I wouldn't be a part of the amazing church that I'm a part of. My pastor always tells us, he's like, there are people in your life that will add to your life, subtract from your life, multiply in your life, or divide in your life, you know, and you need to bring that. And I've got, you know, these people that are in my life, these people that are, you know, I'm having an issue with, what are they bringing to my life, or what are they taking out of my life, you know, and just take it case by case, but, you know, just don't give up, don't retreat into, you know, being alone, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to think we're alone and we're the only person that's having this issue. And it's just, you know, it's just not true.
So I'm trying to think, listening to you talk, what questions listeners might have right now. And I'm thinking, what about the person who wants community but doesn't know where to start? How do you find that community?
Yes. I would say do a little church hopping. Like, it's, you know, it makes it sound like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. But no, like, every community is so different. You know, there's a culture at every church, and you need to find where you fit, because every city, pretty much, there's so many churches with so many styles of, say, worship or preaching or, you know, ministry. Like, you've got to find where your gifts and your talents will fit in, you know, and where your natural personality, where you're going to fit in. And, you know, and that's the place that God has for you. But don't be afraid to do like a little church hopping and see, you know, hey, I really feel like this place is home. Or I feel like, oh, this place doesn't feel like home to me. Because you're going to walk in a place eventually that feels like home. But, you know, and don't be afraid of, like, it taking a while in the process of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. We, several years ago, we left one church we had been at for a very long time, and our plan had been to look at several churches. We visited one, and we had some very, very dear friends of ours that went to that church, and we loved them, but it was that thing where it's like, this isn't home. Like, I love these people, but it's not where we're supposed to be. And then we visit another church, again, with the intent to visit so many others. And we walked in, and I cried through the whole entire first sermon that I was there. It was like my soul knew that it was home in that church. And we've been there, gosh, I mean, I think it might be 5 or 6 years now this summer. And it definitely is like that God does have a place for us in the local church.
Yeah, he does.
And we absolutely can find community there. And I feel like a lot of people are missing community. One, because I don't think they feel that freedom to find a church to call home and to find that community. But also, there's so many people leaving church and not going. And so they're looking outside of the church. But I do believe that God has called us into community in our local church. So I think that might be a key for a lot of people, too, is not forsaking that gathering that he calls us to.
Yeah, it's important, because I tell a lot of people that, you know, because you hear people say, oh, well, I can just have church, you know, at my house in my living room. And, you know, granted, you and God can commune there. But I tell people there's a certain flourishing that will only happen in the body of Christ. You know, God will stretch you and tell you things and speak revelations and mysteries to you in the quiet, in the secret place. But there is just something in community that he wants to grow in you, and so that it can then reach a lost and a dying world. And that will only happen in the context of community.
Absolutely. We're such big. I love when I do have that, you know, small that time with God during the week, and then to hear our pastor speak directly into something about that on Sunday. And then, you know, we host a small group during the week, and then to hear the different perspectives from people, and it just builds on top of each other. And God totally works. God totally works through that. So
I love it.
Yeah, we love that too. So another thing that I'm thinking that people might be questioning is, what do you do about time? So we talked about that earlier. I find, and I don't know if you have the same thing, that I do have pockets of time that I could meet, but it never seems to match up with all my friends' pockets of time. It's so hard to just be consistent. I mean, I understand going to church and finding that, but you do want to have that one-on-one time with people. Once you do find those people that you can connect with, what kind of encouragement or advice would you give to people that are struggling with the time factor?
Okay. I start telling people life is busy, and it's not going to get less busy. That's just not a thing that's going to happen.
That's true.
And so you really have to be intentional. There are moments or, you know, things that I'm a part of that I will, you know, call the leader and say, hey, I can't make it to this event or this outreach or whatever, because this is the only time a friend who I haven't seen, you know, or talked to in like 6 months, this is the only time she can meet. And so we need to get together. So there's moments where I will bow out of something to put that other person first. You know, if I feel like the Lord's like, hey, I need you to go like pour into this person, you know, or I need you guys to just talk about life and get, you know, deep and dirty and find out, you know, what's going on, you know. So I'm willing to make that sacrifice, but not everyone is. And so, you know, I found that I don't mind doing that. So I would say, you know, if there's times where you can, where schedules work out, that is great. But if there's not, you know, at all costs, like, you know, just this 1 week, you just might have to like skip something that you're normally a part of, and in order to, you know, flourish and grow a relationship that you feel like is what I call a covenant relationship.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think too, scheduling that stuff even far in advance is important? I find that it's the last minute stuff that's hard to schedule, but if you go far enough out in our schedule, I think you can usually find something. And sometimes it would take that, you know, like, it's kind of like, you know, you schedule your dentist appointment every 6 months. 6 months in advance, you know that's going to be on your schedule. Well, it might be that you have to schedule 4 weeks in advance with a friend to actually get that time with them.
Oh, yeah. I sit down with my friends and I pop out my planner and they get theirs out. And I'm like, okay, let's have our schedules talk to each other.
Yeah. I definitely need to get better at that myself. Oh, it seems, goodness. I don't know. These last 6 months have been so busy. But like I said, there are pockets of time. It's just finding it. So I think scheduling it more in advance might be the ticket, at least for me.
Yeah, and also if you, you know, like we spend time on the things that we care about. So if I tell you, Amy, you are my friend and I love you and I, you know, believe God's best for you, and I feel like there's something I need to speak into your life, like I'm going to make time for you. You know, whatever it costs, you know, I'm going to skip this and I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to meet with you because I have value in you and in our friendship.
And one other thing that, one of my friends, we don't live extremely close together. I mean, it takes some coordination, to get together. So one thing we've done is just jumped on Skype, you know, and just it's sort of face to face. And it saved all the travel time and just used that to be online together. So that's another thing that I've done to see that works.
Oh yeah. I'm a Voxer girl.
Okay. Yes. I don't have a big Voxer community, but I'm on there and I have one friend who, for those that don't know, Voxer is like texting, but it's all audio. So it's sort of like walkie talkies, but it's like a mix between like texting and walkie talkies. I don't know. So everything is a voice recorded thing. And I have one friend, another friend who lives too far away to get together consistently. And we just box each other every so often. I love it.
I tell people, I was like, it's kind of like leaving a voicemail, you know, and I have friends, like all my Voxer friends, they all live in other states and other time zones. And so it's hard for them to like schedule a real life on the phone conversation. But they can leave me a message when they're driving to carpool, you know, through carpool.
Yes, that's all.
Yes, exactly.
I'm always boxing my friend, like, on the way. I'm like, I'm on the way to carpool, and I have, like, 5 minutes to tell you something. And then it'll be, you know, like an hour later when she's doing carpool, and she'll do her 5 minutes. But we didn't have time to do the full, you know, hour conversation. But 5 minutes at a time, we can get to what we need to say.
Exactly. And I love it because it's convenient for everyone. And I tell people, it's like, there's grace in Voxer. There's no pressure to answer my message, you know, the same day. I was like, you can wait a day or two, and if your life gets busy, I'm like, there's grace for you.
Yes. Yeah, and so it's not as hard as voicemail. I don't want to scare anybody off with the voicemail because you don't have to, like, dial a number. You don't have to put a passcode. Yeah. You just have to push a button in the app. It's really easy.
Yeah.
So, that's another good one. All right. So, Karina, is there any other scripture that you would share as encouragement around community?
I love in Acts, I think it's chapter 2, verse 42, where it talks about just them gathering in homes and breaking bread and reading scriptures and just meeting together. And they did that daily, you know, like daily. They were in each other's homes. And it's a picture of what church and community should be, where you're just living life. I have many friends where when they've had small kids, one of my friends would say, "Hey, I'm going to Target. Do you want to come with me?" And I would go to Target with her. We would talk. I kind of keep her kids' hands off of, groceries that, she wasn't planning on buying. And that was quality time for us.
Yeah, and that's just doing life together. Like, literally, yeah. The life that you would be doing, you're doing it together.
Yeah, like it wasn't some set aside, okay, we have to go sit and do coffee. I've gone to the grocery stores with people. I help friends clean their houses because I like to clean.
Oh, my gosh. I do need you to be my friend.
I know. I need to.
You come to my parties and help me clean.
Yes. And so we'll clean their house, and their kids, will kind of be running around. We'll kind of keep them contained, but we'll sweep and we'll mop and we'll dust and we'll do dishes. And I'll help friends do laundry. And that's, something that it wasn't a set aside. It was, this is life. This has got to happen. But now I have a friend that's helping me. And so it gets done faster. Your kids are, in their space and we're, paying attention to the kids and talking to them and having quality time and, talking about light stuff and heavy stuff, and it's just doing life together. So I love the picture in Acts where they're just doing life. They weren't doing anything special and out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I love that. And now that you say that, I'm thinking about a time. Just a friend put it on Facebook. She's like, "Hey, I'm painting my dining room. Who wants to come over and help me?" And I love to paint. So I got dressed in my paint clothes and went over there. And so we were able to, talk for the time that we were doing painting. And gosh, what a pain that is. But it turned into a good thing because then we were doing it together. So I love that. Thanks for sharing that. All right. So if people want to find you online, where can they find you?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram. It's at Karina, K-A-R-I-N-A, 268. I try to be the same everywhere, so it makes it easier to find me. So those are the places where I'm most active. Also on Facebook, it's also Karina, 268. And it's really fun. I love to interact with people, so, follow me. Like me, and
you have a blog too, right?
I do. I have a blog. It is called For His Name and His Renown. That's renown.wordpress.com. And if you leave me a comment, I will answer you back.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time and encouraging us in community today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. It was such a joy.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Karina. I don't know about you, but I'm leaving that interview so encouraged and inspired to reach out to the people around me and really foster that community. So I am so blessed to be able to be a part of a local church and have a small group and have some wonderful neighbors and some good friends. And so I'm blessed in that way. And yet I'm still so challenged to reach out to those people and really deepen our relationships. And so I hope this has inspired you and encouraged you to be able to reach out and find those people and that community if you don't have it. I know the ones that I have already are such a blessing to me and so thankful for them. And if you don't have that, I'm just encourage you to take the steps that Karina and I talked about to be able to find those people in your life that can you can really do life with. All right, guys, so if you want to find the show notes, you can go over to featherspodcast.com. If you haven't been checking those out, I've been putting some scripture in there that we use. I've also been creating cool little Instagrammable pictures that you can post to your social media just to remember the points that we have been taking from all of these episodes. It's been so encouraging for me to look back at those and remember what God has been teaching us through all of these episodes. Also, leave a comment for Karina just to let her know that you appreciate her time. I know that she would love to talk to you. She has been such a joy to talk to and communicate with, and I can see why that she does community so well. She's very encouraging and great to talk to. So thanks again to Karina, and thanks you guys for listening, and we will see you next time on Feathers.